In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are beginning here, bottom of page 2, volume 14, 9/9/1922. My daughter, Louisa, in creating Adam, the first man, I gave start to the creation of mankind, and after I formed his body, with my omnipotent breath, I infused in him the soul. So here Jesus is showing us that he breathed into Adam, after Adam was formed, and he breathed into him his soul. So our soul is from the breath of God. That's number one. Our soul is from the breath of God. With another breath of mine, I could say I infused in him, in the depth of man, in order to sustain him, dominate him, and keep him safe. So the second thing, he says, this breath infused in us, God was going to sustain us, God was going to dominate us, God was going to keep us safe. So that man formed his kingdom for me, Jesus said, in which I, as king, was to extend my boundary. So with man, God was going to make man even more expansive with this great gift of the divine will. And this is what's so amazing. He made man to sustain him, to dominate him, and to keep him safe. He made man so that as king, man would be the vehicle for God to expand his boundaries. So this is what's happened. Our God loves us so much that he is wanting us to begin to live this abundant life. This is what's so amazing for us. Our Lord has great plans. He really does. He needs us to cooperate. He needs us to allow him to be the Lord of our life. That's what's so magnificent, so beautiful. So, on the top of page 3, volume 14, 11/6/1922. As I was in my usual state, my always lovable Jesus made himself seen in order to make seen holding many little lambs in his arms, some leaning on his breast, some on his shoulder, some clinging to his neck, some on his right, some on his left of his arms, and some with their little heads peeping out from within his heart. So we see Jesus is in love with his little creatures. It's like us with little lambs. However, the feet of all these little lambs were all inside the heart of our Lord. And the nourishment that our Lord gave to them was his own heart, his own breath. So this nourishment that God gives to us is his breath. That's the Spirit of God, the Ruah of God, the breath of God. We want to breathe this in. And Jesus is teaching us how to do this. He's teaching us how to do this by our desire to continue to breathe one with him. This is what he's looking for. And when we breathe one with him, how amazing this is, how glorious this is. So he says this. They were all turned with their mouths toward the mouth of my sweet Jesus to receive the nourishment of his breath. It's like the breath of life. When somebody is having a heart attack, they breathe into the person to keep the person breathing. And this is, all these little lambs had their mouths towards the mouth of Jesus, wanting to breathe. So it's the same thing we do. When we say, breathe in my breathing, put the Lord's mouth right next to yours. Breathe in his breath. Don't let anything escape. This is what God is looking for. It was really beautiful to see how Jesus took great delight, the greatest delight, all intent on nourishing them and delighting with them. And they seemed many births come out of his most holy heart. And they turning to me, he told me, my daughter, these little lambs that you see in my arms are the children of my divine will. They're the legitimate births from my supreme will, my supreme volition. Do you see what God's doing? the ones that are closest to Jesus, the little lambs that are closest to Jesus, he says, are the children of my divine will. This is why he said, you are my most special children. Now it's he loves the saints. He loves the good men and women of the Old Testament. He loves the saints of the New Testament. But he says, the little lambs in my heart are the little children of the most holy divine will. They are the legitimate births for my supreme will. So this says that we have a closer relationship to God than the saints. Why? Why do I say that? It's because he says these are my dearest little children, the legitimate births. We are born of the supreme will of God. We are going to live a life on earth that Adam lived before he committed the original sin. God is going to live in us as he wanted from the beginning. This is much different than being good and holy and saintly like the saints. This is living a divine life. So he says this, they shall come out from within my sacred heart, and they shall keep their feet in the center of my heart, so that they may take nothing from the earth, and they may concern themselves with nothing other than me alone. Do you see why we are to live in our nothingness? If there's anything else there, we can't be the little children of the holy divine will. If there's anything else there besides Jesus, then we are not his legitimate birth of his divine will. We are not the chosen, the little children of the holy divine will, his most special of all children. He says this, these children who concerned themselves with nothing but Jesus alone. He says, look at them. Look how beautiful they are. How clean and well fed they grow. Nourished by my breath alone. They shall be the glory. They shall be the crown of my creation. Now think about that. The crown of the creation is the little children of the holy divine will. This is the ultimate, that this is what Our Lady wears, a crown. As mother and queen of heaven and earth, we are the crown. Jesus wears a crown as king of Lord and Lord and King of Kings. We are his crown. He says the crown of his Catholic Church will be the little children of the holy divine will. Why? It's finally what God wanted. After 6,000 years, he finally has the little children of the holy divine will. This is what he longed for. This is why he created us. So you look at what God's doing. He's really asking us to begin to live this abundant life. They are the crown of my creation. You can write that on your and put that on your mirror. You shall be the glory. You shall be the crown of my creation. If you live in the divine will. We're not there yet. Nobody's there yet. Louisa's there. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. She possesses this gift. But Jesus wants to give this to us. So volume 16, 10, 30, 19, 23. Then, in the meantime, I felt I was losing consciousness. And I saw a dove, all of fire, which was agonizing. And someone near it, who with his burning breath was feeding the dove with his flames in order to nourish it, preventing it from taking any other food, holding it tightly so close to its mouth that it could do nothing other than breathe and swallow the flames which came from him. Okay, this gives us a clue of what God wants for us. A dove set on fire, agonizing. Jesus, with his burning breath, feeding the dove with his flame, nourishing it, preventing it from taking any other food, holding it so tightly close to his mouth that that dove could do nothing other than breathe and swallow the flames which came from Jesus. Do you see why she's using terms like this to explain the divine? Well, this is a divine reality. It's a divine reality. And Jesus is saying to us, I want you to use your intellect the way I want you to use it. And what does that mean? You have to begin to see things from a divine perspective. The three powers that he gave to mankind, your intellect, memory, and will, he says, what I want is I want you to begin to think divinely so that your memory won't be of you and what they did to me, what they said to me, what they are doing. No, the memory must be of Jesus alone. Focused on Jesus solely, not on me, not what I want to do, not what I want to think, but what Jesus wants. And then finally, your human will. You surrender it to God that you have nothing but Jesus. Your intellect is thinking like Jesus. Your memory is only of Jesus. And your will is only one of Jesus, breathing in this fire, this abundant life. So Jesus says this. And the poor dove agonizing turned into those flames which was nourishing. And I was surprised in seeing this. And my sweet Jesus moving in my interior told me, my daughter, why do you fear that I might leave you? In order to leave you, I should leave myself, which I cannot do. Do you see how close God is to us? If we're living in the state of grace, God is so close to us, he can't leave us. He won't leave us. So that's why are we afraid? Why are we worried? Why are we anxious? Why are we complaining? Why are we negative? He says very much, as much power as I, God, have, I do not have the power to detach from myself. If you're honoring God and loving God and praising God and glorifying God, you are one with God. Have you not seen that dove all afire? It was the image of your soul. And the one who was feeding it with his burning breath was I, Jesus, who delights so much in nourishing the soul who wants to live in my divine will only with the flames unleashed by my sacred heart through my breath. Do you see the intimacy that God wants with you? Do you see the intimacy that he's desiring? It's not just to kneel down and adore God who's a mile away from you. It's to live one with God within you, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. As he said to Louisa, I want you to become a living host. I want that more than anything. He said that to St. Faustina, but he teaches Louisa how this will happen. Volume 16, 1128, 1923. I feel always sunken in the most holy divine will of my Jesus, and I seem to see my little soul like a newborn baby whom blessed Jesus was raising in his arms with the breath of his divine will with such jealousy, so as to want to that she look at nothing, hear nothing, touch nothing but him. Do you see what Jesus is doing? God wants us to be like the newborn baby. God wants to breathe in us. God wants us to look at nothing, hear nothing, touch nothing but him. See, what happens is when you get into this life of the divine will, you are so peaceful, joyful, and happy that everything is fiat. Nothing can bother you. Nothing can make you worry. Do you see what God is calling you to? How glorious is this? How magnificent is this? Jesus says, he says, and so that nothing might distract her, Jesus kept her enchanted with a sweet enchantment of his teachings on his most holy divine will. This is the book of heaven. As you read the book of heaven every day, if you haven't started the calendar, read the calendar every day. What will happen is it will be a new beginning for you. A new beginning. He says this, and so that nothing might distract her, he kept her enchanted with the sweet enchantment of his teaching of his most holy divine will, and the little newborn could grow and be nourished with the breath of the divine will of her Jesus. There's no separation. There's no separation as you read and Jesus breathing in you. As you read the book of heaven, Jesus is breathing in you. He's touching your mind so that you'll understand this, and your heart so that you will love it. And not only this, but he covered me with many little crosses of divine light in such a way that in looking at myself, I could see a cross of light impressed in each part of me. The cross is our life. And Jesus amused himself now in multiplying these crosses and now in wanting me to gaze, my gaze fixed on Jesus in order to count all his words, which serve me as food and means of growth. That's every word that you read in the divine will. And if you're reading the calendar, every day is filled with divine light. And you can, at the end of the year, have read all 36 volumes. That's what's so great about this. In 1 year, you're doing what Louisa did in 64 years. And see why? Jesus wants this. He had to form it in Louisa. Now he wants to form it in you. And all that he asks is we give our fiat. All that he asks is we give our yes. And it's a food for you. It's a means of spiritually growing in the divine will. Afterwards, my Jesus told me, my little daughter, my newborn of my divine will, my volition conceived in you made you be born. And now my divine will raises you with all divine love. Do you see what's happening? It's the life of Jesus. Being born and being raised. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We know this is going to happen. Why? Because Jesus went through it and we are one with Jesus. Don't you see how much I love to hold you in my arms? Do not permit that you will take any other food but the breath of my divine will. Don't take any other food but breathing in the divine will as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's bringing a new beginning. He loves you so much. It's a new beginning that he wants. It's a new beginning that he desires. Volume 16, 1:4, 1924. So do I want you to do. You must make your round in the divine will so much as to let yourself be burned by the eternal breath, by the fire of my most holy divine will, in such a way as to lose any other knowledge and to know nothing else but my divine will alone. Here, this is what I read all, well, since Easter, the rounds. Where is it? Right there, right? The Easter rounds. You can read these to the Feast of Christ the King, because that's the traditional rite. Is always the Sunday after Easter, Sunday after Pentecost. So you can continue to read that. And he says this, I want you to make your rounds in the divine will, so much so as to let yourself be burned. See, this is a joyful burning. It's so different from everything else that if you burn something, it's completely changed. It's the same thing here. Burned by the eternal breath of the divine fire of my divine will in such a way to lose any other knowledge, to know nothing else but my divine will alone, only and always. You see what God is calling us to? He's calling us to begin to possess this gift in such a way that it's a whole new beginning. It's a whole new beginning for us. Never seen before. Adam possessed it. Jesus possessed it. The Blessed Mother possessed it, and Louisa possessed it. No one else possessed it. So God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Volume 17, 7:16-19:24. My daughter, in creating Adam, I infused the soul in Adam with my breath, and wanting to infuse in him the most inner part of our interior. Do you see what's happening? This is not just to have a likeness, like a painting. No. I want to infuse in Adam the most inner part of the interior of God which is our most holy divine will, which would also bring him all the particles of our divinity, which as a creature could contain to the extent of making Adam our image. So, God, I mean, what God has done is so astonishing. He has brought about a new beginning for Adam, a human, to be in God's image and likeness. Listen to what he says. All the particles are divinity, which as a creature, Adam could contain to the extent of making Adam our image. But Adam, ungrateful, wanted to break off from our divine will, and even though he was still had his soul, the human will, which took the place of the divine will. So we replaced God's most holy divine will because of Adam, our human will. And that's why we're in such misery. What is your human will? Your human will is this. When you say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." That's your human will. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. Forgive me. I don't want to live this life. So what God is doing for us is he's bringing about a new beginning, which is so magnificent that God is going to bring about his image and likeness on earth again. Now, his image and likeness was his blessed mother. It was Jesus and his blessed mother. The only two. Adam had it before the fall, but he lost it. And now the newborn, the firstborn, has this. And this is what God wants to give to us. So he says this. His human will obscured him, infected him, and rendered all the divine particles idle to the extent of disordering Adam completely and of maiming Adam. This is why Jesus says the human will is like arms without hands, legs without feet. Now, since I, God, want to dispose mankind again to receive this divine will of mine, it is necessary that I, God, return to breathe on mankind again. That's why we're saying, breathe in my breathing. We are doing what God wants to have done. So that my breath may put to flight darkness and infections from mankind, and render active the particles of our divinity which we infused in mankind in creating him. So here, this is what's so amazing. God is going to return to breathe on all of mankind again, okay, number one. Number two, he's breathing in us right now when we say, breathe in my breathing. When we wake up in the morning, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. God is beginning to do that in such a way that little by little, it's happening in us, okay? We are with the firstborn, Luisa Picaretta, the newborn, Luisa Picaretta, which will put to flight all our darkness, all our infections, and will render active the particles of divinity that are within us. Now, what's a particle of divinity? You ever see an idiot savant? All they can do is one thing, and they do it perfectly. That gives us a glimpse of what God is going to do in us. Not just one thing, but everything. It won't be just math. It won't just be numbers. It won't be names. It'll be everything. And when you see an idiot savant, God's giving us a glimpse of a divine particle within mankind. All of us will be able to do everything. Why? That's how God has created us. That's how God has made us. And that's why he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. This is so wonderful. So wonderful what God is doing. Okay, so how I wish to see mankind beautiful again, restored again, just as I, God, had created him. And my divine will alone can work this great prodigy. Only the divine will can work this great prodigy. It's not being good and holy and saintly. That's just the first step. It's to share in divinity. Only my divine will alone can work this great prodigy. This is why I, God, want to breathe on you, that you may receive this great good, that my divine will may reign in you and give you back all the divine goods and the divine rights which I gave mankind in creation of him. And as Jesus was saying this, he drawing near to me, he breathed on me and he looked at me and he clasped me and then he disappeared from me. Finally, he sees a soul of a rich, born of original sin, who has the divine qualities of his mother, of himself, of the new Adam, of the new Eve. And that's why he breathed on Louisa, looked at her and said, yes, clasped her and then said, live this. That's what God is doing for us. He's saying, live this life. Volume 17, 423, 1925. The soul purged by my divine will, though through an omnipotent breath, which was infused in her by God, no longer produces the nausea of the human will. Now, why do we say the nausea of the human will? It's very simple. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. It's nauseous. And that's going to stop. What's going to begin is a new era. No longer produces the nausea of the human will. And therefore, God continues to breathe upon Louisa and upon us, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, linked to Louisa, with his omnipotent breath, that Louisa and the little souls linked to Louisa may grow with that divine will with which God had created us. Do you see what God's doing? It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning that our Lord is asking us to begin to live. How glorious is that? How magnificent is that? This is just astonishing. It's just astonishing. On the other hand, the soul who has not yet been purged feels attraction of her own human will. Okay? So what God is doing is he's going to breathe on us this purging fire. Okay? What is that purging fire? It's reading the divine will. It's the book of heaven. He says very clearly, if we have not yet been purged, we will still be attracted to human misery. Why do we go to confession each week? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You think it's good. It's evil. It's human misery. You're still attracted to it. You haven't been purged yet. And so the soul acts against the divine will of God, doing her own human will rather than living in God's holy divine will. God cannot approach this soul to breathe upon her again. You wonder why you're not going anywhere. It's because you're not reading. You're not being purged by this fire. You haven't entered into this love of God, which is the divine will. And that's what God wants. God cannot approach the soul again to breathe upon her until the soul gives all of herself to the exercise and the fulfillment of the divine will. What is the exercise and the fulfillment? Reading, studying, and putting it into practice. That's why I encourage everyone to read the calendar. At the most, 10 pages in a day. Normally, it's not that many. Who doesn't have the time to do that? 10 pages. It's like people saying to me, I haven't got time for the rosary. Who hasn't got time for the rosary? What are you doing that you don't have the time? And if you really discipline yourself, you can eliminate 15, 20 minutes of this or that to have the time. See, what you love, you take time for. What you are addicted to, you take time for. Whether it's food, whether it's television, you know, whatever. we have to, as Jesus says here, we have to get back into, as he says, the exercise and fulfillment of the divine will. So then he says this, you must know. This is a command from Jesus Christ. You must know this. You must know this. In creating Adam, God infused divine life in Adam with his breath. And in this divine life, he infused in Adam an intelligence. This is the first power. A memory, which is the second power. And a human will, which is the third power. To place in them relationship with the divine. With the divine will. So the human will was supposed to give life to the divine will. And what Adam did was say, no, I want to be in charge. And by doing that, fell, and all of us fell. All his children fell. And this is the divine will, and this divine will was to be like a king who was to dominate the whole interior of the creature and give life to everything in such a way to form the whole interior of the creature and to form the intelligence and the memory wanted by the supreme will in the soul. Okay, so listen to it. God infused the intellect, memory, and will, which was supposed to be in a relationship with the divine will, and that was to help the intellect, memory, and will be one with God, and therefore give life to everything, to form the intelligence, memory, and the supreme will of God. So we're supposed to think in a divine manner, think with the mind of Christ. We're supposed to remember not what they did to us, what they said about us. We're nothing. It's to remember Jesus. That's why when you pray the Holy Rosary, you pray with the Blessed Mother, adoring, loving, praising, thanking, blessing, who Jesus is. You see Jesus the way Mary sees Jesus. That's what's so beautiful. Once this was found, it would be as though natural for the eye of the creature to look at created things and to know their order and the will of God over the whole universe. And in hearing, do you see what's happening? Once this was formed, the intellect, memory, and will in us, the way Jesus lives, once this was formed, it would be as though natural for the eye, our human eye, to look at all created things and to see God, to know the order, know the will of God over the whole universe. See, we're supposed to see things from a divine perspective. That's why Jesus says, I gave you your senses. He says this in volume 36. I gave you your senses. Why? So that you can see God and hear God and smell God and taste God and touch God. St. Thomas Aquinas says, you see the love of God in all of creation. So this has already begun, and now he wants us to really enter into this gift. So he says this. Her hearing, okay, this is the first, the eye to see God. The hearing was to hear the prodigies of the eternal will. Her mouth was to feel itself breathed upon continuously by its creator, to communicate to the life and the goods which his divine will contains. Her mouth was to be the echo of the eternal fiat with its word, to narrate what the will of God means. She never departs from the origin from which she came. Therefore, she remains always in my arms, and it is easy for her to feel my breath and for me to breathe upon her. So we're not supposed to be 1,000 miles away from God. We're to be in his arms. That's why we have one talk on being in the arms of Jesus. This is where we are to be. If you are afraid, go to the arms of Jesus. If you're nervous, go to the arms of Jesus. If you're worried, go to the arms of Jesus. And it says, it's easy for her to feel my breath, for me to breathe upon her. Why? You always remains in my arms. This is what God is waiting for. So look at what God is doing. He's giving to us which he didn't give to the saints. The saints did the will of God. The saints didn't have the life of the divine will. They did the will of God, but they didn't live in the will of God. And now what is living in the will of God? Breathing the breath of God again. Being in the arms of Jesus again. Jesus look gazing and are gazing. Jesus walking and are walking. Never to be separated from Jesus again. So he says this. Now this is precisely what I want from you. That you let my divine will reign in you. And that you, your human will, may serve as the dwelling place of my most holy divine will, to let it deposit the celestial goods that it contains. So Jesus says, when you begin to live in the divine will, when this happens, letting the divine will reign in us, the human will it becomes the place for the divine will. The human will is no longer in charge. And then therefore, God will deposit in us the celestial goods that the divine will contains. Do you see what God is doing? How magnificent is this? Volume 17, 7, 9, 1925. My breath shall sure serve you as breeze to preserve you in the beautiful freshness which I, God, created you. In which I, God, created you. So it's to go back to be in God's image and likeness. This is what this is about. Volume 19, 3, 2, 1926. At that moment, the heavens opened, and I heard everyone say in chorus, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit." I don't know how, but it was my turn to answer, "As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." But who can say what was happening? In the word Father, one could see the creative power flowing everywhere, preserving everything, giving life to everything. The mere breath of this word was enough to maintain everything God had created intact, beautiful, and ever new. Do you see the heaven? Created intact, beautiful, and ever new. Nothing is old in heaven. Nothing is inanimate in heaven. Nothing is dead in heaven. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to enter into this abundant life now. In the word Son, one could see all the works of Jesus, the Word, renewed, ordered, and all in act of filling heaven and earth to give themselves for the good of creatures. And in the word Holy Spirit, one could see all things be invested with a speaking, operating, vivifying love. This is the breath of God, the Ruah of God. Volume 19, 5-1, 1926. I felt all immersed in the supreme volition, and my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior, squeezing me tightly to himself. He placed his mouth close to my lips and sent me his omnipotent breath. But who can say what I felt within me? That breath penetrated deep into my most intimate fibers. See what God's doing? He's recreating us. And it filled me completely to the point that I no longer felt my littleness, my existence, but only Jesus, all within all of me. And then after repeating this several times, this act sending me his breath, it seemed he was not content if he did not see me completely filled with divine breath. And he told me, "My daughter, since you are born in my divine will, it is necessary, it is right, it is decorous that you live, grow, and be nourished in the divine will, that you acquire the prerogatives of a true daughter of my volition." So that's what Jesus wants to say to us. Since he says, "I want you to be born in the divine will." Okay, what does that mean? Read this, study this, put this into practice. Believe every truth that Jesus says. Believe every promise that Jesus gives to Louisa and begin to live it. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. Begin to live this. This is what Jesus is looking for. He says, he wants us immersed in the supreme fiat. He wants to breathe in us his divine will. Okay, so it says he places his mouth close to our lips. He wants to breathe in us. He says, "My daughter, since you were born in the divine will, it is necessary, it is right, it is decorous that you live, grow, and be nourished in the divine will. Read, study, and put this into practice." That's how it happens. "And that you acquire the prerogative of a true daughter of my volition. No extraneous feature, nor anything which does not belong to my divine will, must appear in you. Therefore, from your facial expressions," think about that. You walk up to somebody and they look at you like, ugh. Jesus says, no, that can't even be there anymore. It's got to be peace, joy, and happiness in your facial expressions. He says it very clearly. From your facial expressions, from your manners, from your speaking, and even from the way you love and pray, it must be recognized that you are a daughter of my divine will. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He wants to reign in us in our facial expressions. Mary wants to reign in us with our facial expressions. In our manners. Jesus wants to reign. Mary wants to reign. That's what they did with Louisa. We asked Father Bucci, what was Louisa like? And he says, she was more of heaven than of earth. I said, what were her eyes like? And he says, her color of her eyes was like the blue sky over the Vatican. He says, what were they like? And he said, they were large, he says, and they were deep. There was beauty in his eyes, in her eyes, she said. So, this is what Jesus wants. He says, I want you to be born again. I want you to be born again in the divine will. No extraneous feature, nor anything which does not belong to my divine will must appear in you. Okay, that means you've got to become peaceful, joyful, and happy. Therefore, from your facial expressions, from your manners, from your speaking, and even from the way you love and pray, it must be recognized that you are a daughter of my divine will. We have to change. Jesus has to be with us. And if we don't change, it means Jesus isn't with us. Therefore, from your facial expressions, he says, your manners, your speaking, even from the way you love and pray, it must be recognized that you are a daughter of my divine will. Do you see then how I love you? And with a jealously I keep you and nourish you with my very breath, because only my breath can preserve whole and permanent the life of my divine will in the soul who must live in my divine will, in my volition. Do you see what God is doing? He says, as you read this, as you study this, as Louisa did, you will begin to live this. If you're not reading, if you're not practicing this, he says, you can't live it. It's not there. We have to change. We have to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. He says this very, very clear. And so, that breath, which is so much love, I release from my bosom in the creation of Adam to infuse in Adam my likeness, I continue to infuse in the soul who lives in my most holy divine will in order to form my true images, the great portents which I, God, had established to form in creation and for all things, for which all things were made. Everything was made to be in God's image and likeness through man. Therefore, with its continuous motion, my divine will is life in each created thing. It binds everything. It is more than air, which with its breath makes all things which came out of our hands breathe, develop, and vegetate. This is why the one who recognizes the life of my divine will within herself in all things is the triumph of our divine will, the conquest of our victories. She is the recompense of all our love to our continuous motion. Our divine will binds this creature to the whole of creation, makes her do all the good that my most holy divine will does itself. So everything is hers. I love this soul so much that I am unable to do anything without her, because by virtue of my divine will, we have the same life. We have the same love. We have the same single heartbeat. We have the same single breath. Jesus breathing in us, we breathing in God. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. He needs us to begin to live this abundant life. It's nobody else's. It's nobody else's but ours. And why? Because they don't have Louisa. We have Louisa. We have this breath of God. Breathe in this divine will. Read, study, put this into practice. Don't ever be separated from what God is doing. Don't ever walk away from what the Lord wants. He wants us to live this life. He's given it to us. And He expects us to do what Louisa did, or we can't have it. Louisa focused her life on this. Why did Jesus keep her in bed for 64 years? To read, to study, to put into practice the truths that Jesus dictated to her. And that's what God is doing. He's waiting for us to read this, to study this, to put this into practice. So we'll end there. We'll come back at 1:30 in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Keep it on, I guess.
Yeah, keep it on. Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.